There spot. We are.
Ready? Play the music.
We probably have no intro, do we?
not enough garbly goo.
There we go.
Sonny lives on a farm in a wide open space. You can take off your shoes and get out of the race. Lay on your heart by sweet river path. Sonny always remembers the words his mama said. Sonny carries a load, though he's barely a man. There ain't not a lot to do, still he does what he can. He sits at his window in his room by the stairs. He keeps to the road, and he's done that for years. Sonny, don't go away, I am here all alone. And your daddy's a sailor who never comes home. The nights get so long and the silence goes on. I'm feeling so tired, yeah. I'm not all that strong. Well, it's 100 miles to town.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 35 of Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with...
Chris.
Matt.
April.
And Logan's feeling under the weather, so he's not with us today. So it's just the four of us today. We're going to be reviewing the DVD and Blu-ray, whichever flavor of choice you like. What is that, Matt?
Hotel Transylvania.
And then our music disc today. April has that.
Hard Times by Matthew Guernsey.
We'll be doing the movie first, but before we get into that, we'll take a short pause for Dodge City Public Library.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land, so why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
And we are back, and we'll have Matt go forward with his review of Hotel Transylvania.
Hotel Ooh. Transylvania. Yeah, a little howling in there.
I like this movie.
I forgot to look up. I believe this is rated G.
It should be.
I forgot to look. I really did. Chris, you want to quick look that
this
up for me?
This is rated R.
I actually have it written out, not
it's
the actual
notes.
Oh,
notes.
Your notes.
My notes written out.
Damn it, Matt. Using your talent.
Sorry.
I'll use my iPad.
It's either...
I believe it's rated G, but I don't know if it's G or PG.
PG.
And
There's been a lot of PGs coming out lately in the animation, so I'm not sure either.
I wasn't sure. And dang it, I forgot. My bad. Oh, well. But it starts out...
It is... IMDb, you suck.
Wait, I got this.
I'm taking it. IMDb did not have the rating.
Am I on?
Go, yeah.
Guess.
Oh, I don't actually have it. I'm just wondering because I can't hear myself.
Okay, I'll go on until we get the rating here. It actually starts out, and we'll start out with a little bit of that, and then I'll go into some of the voices of the characters.
It starts out, huh?
It starts out with...
I'm just getting
does
even.
Does it start out with a main character?
It has a main character?
What?
Why is it always my reviews they jump all over?
Oh, don't even.
Okay, yeah. Don't bring that in. Oh.
Okay, going on. The movie is about Dracula, who opens a high-end resort away from the human world.
So a vampire.
He kind of, yes. He goes into...
Is this vampire compared to the Twilight? No, I'm kidding. I don't want to do that.
He goes into an overprotective mode when a human boy actually discovers his resort, which is tucked way back in the middle of nowhere.
It's rated PG.
It is rated PG.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
PG, and it takes place in 1895.
The beginning of it, I think, does.
Not the...
I'm going to say the beginning of it does, because I'll get into that in a little bit. Some of the voices of the main characters is Adam Sandler's voice of Dracula. Andy Samberg is Jonathan, who is the human that discovers a resort. Selena Gomez plays Mavis, who is Dracula's daughter. Kevin James is the voice of Frankenstein. Steve Buscemi is Warren, who is the Wolfman. David Spade plays Griffin, the Invisible Man. And John Lovitz plays Quasimodo.
Who'd he forget?
Wait,
CeeLo Green.
Come on.
CeeLo Green plays the mummy. He's not in there very long.
No, Well, there's one other one.
He's in the whole movie, Bo.
The greatest sitcom actress ever to live during
Fran
the 90s.
Fran Drescher. Not in there very long either. And, ta-da. And
who
was
that?
She plays...
Mrs. Frankenstein.
Yeah, I can't remember what her actual name was. Eunice. Well, I pulled out who the main characters are. And the reason I put Quasimodo in there is because he plays kind of an important part in the movie throughout it.
Did you get the fly? Hmm.
Those are funny too.
He's
but
French.
There is every monster in this movie that I think you ever have.
There's Bigfoot.
Yes.
Yeah, I liked that one.
They have. Archie sees a leg.
I know.
It's great.
Well, his name is Bigfoot, not Big Feet.
Yeah. Archie sees a leg. But I mean, there's Dracula, Frankenstein. The Invisible Man.
All your classic monsters.
Do you think that's the reference to Monsters, Inc. when they had the chicken cross the road? Get the joke?
Yeah.
You know when they're going to work, Sully and is going to work, and then all you see is this big chicken leg?
Yeah. Maybe.
How you doing, Ted? But yeah. Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to work?
Yeah, to get to work. The movie starts out with Mavis is a baby and Dracula talking with, I believe it's a zombie.
Is this a Pixar film?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it is.
No, it's not.
Who did it?
It's really...
I want to say Universal, maybe.
I wanted to say that too, but don't
Columbia.
Quote me on that.
Columbia, Sony.
Columbia.
Yep.
Okay.
It wasn't Pixar, for sure.
And Dracula, I believe he's talking to a zombie designing the hotel.
Fame, yeah.
I believe so.
Then we kind of fast forward to 118 years later. Okay, that's why I said, you know, it originally takes place at, you said, 1895. Whatever. And Dracula's throwing a huge party for Mavis's 118th birthday. That's when all the characters start showing up.
Hey, if I bought you IMDb Pro for 1 month, would you use it?
Probably.
Dude, what?
Just to throw that out there, probably.
Back to my podcast.
This is the reason. Because all the details that he was asking for are only available on IMDb Pro.
What details are... Oh.
Who did the movie? Columbia and Sony are the only ones listed, but it says for more details, get IMDb Pro.
Why don't you get IMDb Pro?
Okay. Because I don't review movies.
Back to where I was in the movie. Setting up the movie here. Dracula goes to see Mavis. Mavis says, hey, Dad, I want to go out into the world. Dracula has everyone believing that humans are completely bad.
They are. They suck.
And they will kill any monster they see on sight.
And then he shows this annual clip of how humans have progressed. Yeah.
Which was actually quite humorous.
Oh, my gosh. They're wearing less clothes to be faster.
Yeah. Everything's about how bad humans are towards monsters. She tells Dracula, hey, I want to go out and see the world. He says, okay. And she has this big, long speech prepared. What? Do you say okay? Which he says, there's a town just out over here. You can go there and see all the humans. Well, she turns into a bat, flies to the town, and you find out it's a town that Dracula created.
Basically.
To basically trick his daughter into thinking all humans are bad. And he threw a bunch of zombies in there with, like, human masks and stuff on them. And they come out saying, oh, I want to steal all your candy and all this other stuff that he's made them believe.
And
that
then one of the zombies hit the other one and its head popped off. Yeah. Still
did the zombie die?
No,
it was just...
Oh, it's not a real zombie then.
Yeah, it's a kid's movie, man.
It's an intense... It's
already dead.
It ends up lighting another zombie on fire, which ends up lighting the town on fire. And she runs off back to Dracula and says, oh, you were right. All humans are still bad. Da, 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 da.
And that also is a throwback to the beginning of the movie because the builder of the hotel says, don't do fireworks or bonfires.
Or fires.
And
or they can be discovered.
Any sort of fire.
So we have a fire.
Jonathan happens to discover the zombies headed back to the hotel and follows them and shows up at the hotel. Dracula sees him, grabs him, and is like, oh, no. People can't find out humans are bad. Flips out. Dresses him up like Frankenstein.
Pretty much, yeah.
With makeup and all this other stuff.
He was like...
And basically portrays him as the hired party planner. And everybody's going, yeah, Dracula's a control freak. Not happening. And don't really believe him, but kind of accept him in that aspect of it. And from there on, it's just an onslaught of hilarity of stuff
of
that
him,
happens.
Like, trying to keep his identity a secret. Like,
trying to keep that he is a human secret from everyone else because he doesn't want them to know that humans have changed.
I like...
And I'm not sure if... Has Dracula actually know that humans have changed?
No.
Or he just wants to keep everybody that way?
He didn't know about it because he hadn't been out in the real world either. Because he still thought people was evil too.
I think so. And this all stems from, you find out later in the movie that him and his wife were attacked by humans, right? I'm guessing right after they had Mavis. And his wife was killed in the attack. So he basically was set to raising her on her own and swore he'd protect her forever.
Yep.
So that kind of sets up how the movie is. Later on in the movie, Jonathan and Mavis kind of fall for each other. And there's
kind of goes down that same old track of boy meets girl.
Boy meets girl. But there are so many other funny things that happened in the movie with the Invisible Man. The Invisible Man shaving was hilarious to me. Like, really?
Okay.
Yep. He's sitting in the mirror, got the shaving cream on, he shaves, and then he grabs his glasses, put his glasses on so that you can actually see him.
And they're doing charades in one part of the party.
Yeah.
And
he's the glasses up. Guess
who's up there
around
for one of the teams is the Invisible Man.
Okay. That would be funny.
And they're shouting out all kinds of stuff,
like,
too.
Wiggling glasses. Glasses out going up and down. Like, it's like, there's only glasses there.
Oh, there's.
Or the blob. They even have a dragon. Is that Hotel Transylvania?
Where there's a blob in there, yeah.
There's a blob in there.
In a sauna?
They have a, they, like, no.
Takes a pool.
Oh, he's okay. In the pool. They do have a scene where they're all in the
sauna. The sauna.
Which is hilarious because the wolf man is, you know, Warren's just,
he's like
just panting like crazy. And he's like, I'm working up a good sweat here. And the wolf man has about, what, 3,000 children?
There's this one. The Dracula was trying to make up an excuse of why he didn't like Jonathan, was it? The human?
Yeah, Jonathan.
Jonathan and Mavis being together.
Oh, he says because he's got curly red hair.
Because I just don't like people with curly red hair. And the Invisible Man's like, hey.
I have curly red hair.
It's like, well, how was I supposed to know?
there's just cut-ups about the monsters being who they are. I know they keep giving Frankenstein, you know, fire bad. Yeah, we get it. Fire bad. Yep. We know it. You know, he won't. He travels in a box. He ships himself to the hotel because, you know, he won't get on a plane because planes explode. And they're like, yeah, we know. Fire bad. You know, just everything.
My favorite part, which is like a completely random, you can skip over part, was when the Wolfman came in and he has tons of kids. Like, it's unbelievable how many kids he has. And one of them pees by the chair. And this witch comes and slaps down like a sponge.
Yep.
And the sponge is like smiling. He's like,
it's
soaking up the pee. That's my favorite part.
No, my favorite part is in this. Skipping around in the movie, and I don't want to ruin the movie. I really want everybody to watch it. I thought it was a great,
like,
hilarious
heads.
Movie. Yeah, the talking heads.
The heads
that
on
are
the doorknobs.
Shrunken heads that are on the doorknobs for do not disturb signs. I mean, they put everything in this movie. They really did a great job of that, throwing all monsters in there. Quasimodo finds out that Jonathan is human, okay? And he's trying to cook him, I do believe.
Yeah, because he has this rat that sniffs out humans.
And, well, of course, after everybody else finds out Jonathan's human, he leaves. He's getting on a plane, and they're trying to chase him down because they find out humans aren't as bad as they think. And as they're driving along in a
Hearst
car, you know, really old Hearst car, it's the Wolfman, the Invisible Man's driving, Dracula, Frankenstein.
Is that it?
Are they just the four that are in there?
Yeah.
I think they're just the four that's in there. They're cruising along on the road, and they yell sheep, and they veer off the road, and they, you know, go down the side of the mountain a ways, and they get back on the road.
Because it was just one sheep. Like,
yeah, it was just one sheep. And the Invisible Man goes, that was awesome. High five. Yeah, there's a pause for a moment. They all just kind of
look at
him stupid.
Hanging.
Don't leave me hanging. You're like, really? We can't see you. A little bit right after that, a little bit, which is another great part of the scene. There's a whole bunch of sheep in the road, and they slam on the brakes. They're like, well, what do we do now? And Warren goes, I got this. He jumps out of the car. Split second, he's gone. Jumps back in the car with a little bit of fur.
Fur, like, flying off his mouth.
And they all just kind of look at him with these dumbfounded looks in his face. He's like, what? You eat lamb chops? It's the same thing.
Yeah. Like, it's all unethical.
like it was all bad and unethical.
It was about 30 sheep.
It was just packed. All gone. And they didn't show it. They just showed the car.
They just showed the people. They just showed everybody looking at him like, whoa.
Okay.
You know, another great one, too, is where Dracula tries to hypnotize Jonathan. Yeah. When he wanted him to leave the hotel, and he's like, you won't remember anything about the hotel. And he goes, wait, what? Nothing? And he's like, wait, I was using my powers on you. I was doing the eye thing. He goes, oh, it's probably my contacts. Here, let me see if I can get it
and
out.
And he starts trying to mess with it. He like,
starts
detail.
Trying to get his contact out. And Dracula's like, oh, that is disgusting. That is gross. And just running so disgusting. Away. And I love the movie.
Good times.
One of the cuter ones for me was when they were just starting out to figure out where Jonathan went to, and the Wolfman pulls up a jacket or something of his.
Jonathan's jacket.
And I think it's Frankenstein's name. Says, do your kids have no respect or anything? And
is there any child that still respects you?
Yeah, that still respects you. And he calls out
the little girl.
His little girl.
His
the only girl
one
he
girl.
Has. And she just clumps right on out there, sniffs. He's da-da-da-da, sniffs more, da-da-da-da.
He's on this flight.
Yeah, he's flight number.
And then... And I was like, what? Leaving at this time. And I was like,
he got in this car, needs transmission work. He got on this, you know, and you're like, what?
But the little character's like so cute.
She was she was really cute. Because all his other kids were boys and like rebels, like had the collars, crazy.
It'd be like having a house full of, you know, 25-year-olds. There is a scene, too, where he's laying in bed. And all the kids are around him. And he's laying there with his eyes wide open. And he
trying to go to sleep.
Just finally nods off and the phone rings. This is your 5 a.m. wake-up call.
I didn't ask for a wake-up call.
It's a great movie. I thought it had plenty of comedy. A good story. I don't know.
I liked the story. Because it was just like, cool, whatever.
Well, I don't know
chilled out story.
Younger kids would quite get the story as much as they would probably enjoy.
I think they would. Because they made it really simple, I want to think.
Well, I'm talking 7-8-year-olds. I mean, I think they'd enjoy the movie because it's a cartoon.
And it's
and there's
fast,
some funny scenes in it.
That's probably more geared for the tweens, probably.
Yeah, I'm
the
guessing.
The relationship, even though she's...
9, 10.
18.
Yeah, 118.
Yeah.
Supposed to be a teenager, I think.
Yeah.
You know, some teenagers will enjoy it, but I think you're... For me, it looked like the core group would be the tweens.
Would be the tweens. But I like pretty much every cartoon that's been made. Especially, you know, Disney Pixar ones. I love those. I think older, you know,
I like
teenagers
the
and...
The Fox and the Hound. I like that movie. Like, yeah.
That's a good movie, too.
I love that movie.
You know, I think everybody would enjoy it. You know, from age 8 up would really enjoy it and would really get into it. I don't know. Was there any real spots in there that, you know, some movies there's those scenes where they could be taken two different ways? I don't really remember seeing many in there or any that I could think
Not
of.
Not that I can really think of off the top of my head. Can you, April?
Mm-mm.
But yeah, I would say, you know, 8 up would enjoy
something
it.
I hated Mavis. Like, I liked her personality and all that. I hated her hair. I hated her
You hated
outfits.
The way she was drawn?
I just hated that. It's like, she literally had no shape at all. She was just...
I hadn't really noticed.
It was like...
I didn't pay attention much of that.
It was
I thought
like,
the...
Jeez.
The animation was great. I thought it was very well drawn. You know,
yeah.
I really did enjoy the movie, and I would recommend it. I think it should be one that you have.
And to kind of qualify it, because we said Disney Pixar, it's not a musical.
No.
I think the only time they sing
at
is at
the
very,
very
end.
That's my favorite part. I'm like, what?
You're my zing? Or she's my zing?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Doing a
and
rap.
Like, it, like Dracula hasn't sang in so long. He's like, no, I can't. And then he
just
busts out.
Like I said, I enjoyed it. I think it's one you should have. I don't know if it was a real popular movie. I remember seeing a little bit of it on TV as it was being in theaters.
I didn't see a lot of it, though.
And I don't remember seeing much of it. Maybe just a little bit of it in commercials as being played. I don't know if it was real popular. But I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yep.
I'd say have for sure.
Yeah, this would be a good one for your children.
But do you put it in
your children's collection?
Do you put it in the family or children's?
Yeah.
You could probably
put
it in children's.
You could probably put it in children's, but adults would enjoy it too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of a cartoon lover anyway, so I like cartoon, right?
God.
I don't know how to take that, man.
Jessica Rabbit.
I remember that movie. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Inside joke for Matt and I. Chris is kind of dumbfounded. April has no clue.
I'm just like...
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? If you haven't seen it, watch it. Great movie.
We're not reviewing that show.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Plug.
Oh, yeah.
Back to that. I say everyone have it. We'd be good. Any,
well. Need ambient noise.
Great. Chris didn't watch it. I don't know why I told him to. I told him his kids would love it.
They will.
So. Anybody else, any thoughts on that one?
Same thing. Purchase. I did not enjoy it as much as probably some of the others did. April enjoyed it more than I did, but
I liked it.
When we watched it, I was a little under the weather as well. So
you have to watch it again.
Mom was asleep like usual, so she didn't have much of an opinion.
Hey, let's not bring our mothers into this podcast.
I bring mine into every podcast.
Okay, on to the next.
We'd like for you to send us any comments, suggestions, or questions, or even say, hey, check this out, say hi, how you doing, goodbye, I don't know.
Chris's novel Last Podcast sucked.
Whatever you'd like to send us.
I think every library should have that book.
Whatever you'd like to send it to us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. Again, that's admin@comicpoplibrary.com. We also have a Facebook page that you can like. Just look for it under Comic Pop Library when you go into your search feature. And speaking of the Facebook, we did get some comments back on one of the posts we did for the Ginger and the Ghost minicast that I threw up there. Because we ran long on one of the podcasts, we had to do a mini cast on just that review that the Musebox wanted us to do. And basically, it stated that they enjoyed the music. They didn't know what April was talking about. So
I don't know what she was talking about either.
April didn't enjoy it.
Hi.
April didn't enjoy it as much as other
people. The only reason you enjoy that. Is when you are high.
But they said they enjoyed the instrumentals and they did like the voice as well. So Michelle sent that one to us. So thank you for the comments. Anybody else that wants to comment, you know, send us a shout out on the Facebook page or email either way and we'll get it on the podcast for you. And now we're going to do our next drop for Matt Guernsey.
Come for to sing.
Some come to work while others do play. Some come at evening to pass time away. Some come to laugh, their voices to ring. But as for me, I come far to see. Some come in winter to ward off the chill. Some come in summer to drink up their fill. Some come in autumn, and others in spring. But where I come far to see. Some live right here, they come all the time. Some cross the oceans, they come from all climes. But come by land, or come I by wing, you know if I'm here, I came far to see.
And we are back and we're ready for April's review of Matthew Guernsey's Hard Times.
Yep. Okay. So Matthew Guernsey has a Celtic artist. He does Celtic music. And this is his first solo album called Hard Times. And it's also his first album since being away for 1 year from the music deal. All right. So it's called Hard Times. And it's basically him kind of getting over all this crap that's happened to him over the year that he was away from music, basically.
And like, we won't go into everything, but yeah. We did do an interview with him.
It's in his music. Just listen to music.
Yeah, just you'll it's get it. In that, yeah.
But we did release an interview with him, a visit, and he did mention one of the things that did happen to him was his house being burnt down. So.
And actually, the cover for the album was shot at the remains of his house, basically.
That's true.
Was at the
forgot rubble. About that, but yeah, you're right.
I remember that.
There's a horn on one of his Celtic horns.
I thought you were going to say it was coming out of his head, but okay.
Yes.
One of his Viking horns is coming out of his horn.
Yeah.
It has one of his instruments shown there, too.
Nice.
I can't really tell. It looks like a dead cat on the top there.
Wow.
Okay.
Matt, I'm sorry for your
Or it could
cats,
be insulation.
For your
it could
boss.
Be insulation.
If you ever owned a cat. God.
And but, if you're an audiophile, dead cat has a different meaning.
So, okay, back on to topic.
It's the it's that furry sock they put over shotgun microphones.
Oh.
So, they call it a dead cat because it looks like a dead cat.
All right, back to this. Yeah. Okay.
How's it feel?
At least I listened to it. Okay, so.
But you didn't read.
Basically.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Bless America. So, what is that?
What is what?
I don't know. I'm just hearing things now. So, he is. What is that? What is that?
What are things you hear? Do they are they talking to you? No, what do they what say?
Okay, I got her. I'm good. Yeah.
No, are you? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm checking.
The voices tell you you're good.
Half of them.
Okay.
Tell nobody you what. Said we never had fun on this podcast.
God, I cannot get back on topic.
That's hilarious, actually.
Okay, so even his heritage is from Scotland, but he's grown up in Colorado in a really small place in the mountains and has been performing since he was really little. So he's got that just going. And he told us, too, that he had just, if there was a power outage, which he said happened a lot, they would just sing around the campfire like that old Goody Two Shoe family.
Oh, Matt's a Goody Two Shoes.
Thank you.
Okay. Not our Matt.
Here's, I know, it's
here's the thing. If I mute everybody, she'll get done with her review tonight.
Oh.
We're seriously, being though, nice. I'm like, oh my gosh. But even though he is American, he did live in Scotland for a time to, like, I don't know, because he felt like it, I guess.
Discovering his roots.
Yeah.
Chris is wanting to say something so bad.
Come on, Chris, bring it. Bring it. Oh, no. He's not bringing it. It's too chicken.
All right. Okay, I'm not on. McFly, so I don't care.
I love McFly. Gosh, bless America. That's my thing. All right, so he was in a group called The Muses, which he told us for about 10 years until
which
they...
Which is really long time for a band.
Yeah. It is.
It's a good stretch.
Until they went their separate ways.
And they traveled all over the
they did, they,
world and everything.
Because when he was... He did come to our library to perform and had the Muses CDs for sale.
And you can't pick those up on his website store. The current disc we are reviewing is not available at the this moment. Given well, time, but it will be.
Shortly.
Yep.
And, I don't know, to talk about the music.
It's
with Celtic music, you got to be careful that it doesn't all sound the same. Because if you listen to like a full album of it, it just starts churning in your brain. It's like...
You start river
same
dancing.
Thing. Well, for me, like, the... Songs to me were just really long, and I just wanted to get through the album. Like, it just was not.
You're starting to sound like you didn't like the album, or maybe Celtic music isn't your cup of.
No, I like
cup of scotch.
I bourbon.
God,
we do not condone underage drinking in this podcast.
No, we don't.
Breathe. But see, I really enjoy Celtic music. It's just I don't know.
This one...
It's just hard to... For this album, I was just like,
Well, I think it's part of, you know, look what the album is. Kind of like what Chris said. It's hard times. It's some, slow. And he mentioned it in the visit we had with him, too, that, you know, it reflected what he was going through this last year. So it's one that's
It's not going to be party music.
No. And there are a lot of slower songs, like April was getting ready to say, so...
That's like... The ones that I did like on that... Like, all the songs are okay, but the ones that I liked, you know, more were songs that I have heard previously from different artists that he did a cover of. And I don't know if I just liked them because I had heard them with a different person before, so I was thinking of that version.
Now, was Sunny's Dream or Come Forth to Sing one of those songs that you've heard before?
I've heard Sunny's Dream and Shady Grove, which will be the outro to it. But Come Forth to Sing, I didn't really enjoy particularly.
Oh, see, I enjoyed that one.
But I needed a filler, so I was like, why not?
See, that was one of the ones I really enjoyed on this CD was Come Forth to Sing. And I'm not sure if that might be one of his original ones. We talked about some of his original writing, but he didn't specify which ones were originals.
Five traditional ones on the CD, right?
At least, roughly.
So.
But see, for me, like, it's not a bad, horrible song. It's completely wrong. Everything's off. It's just I just don't particularly enjoy slow Celtic songs.
From what I've heard so far, it's not depressing music. It's like I don't want to say it's music you would find at a Scottish pub, but it might be
for the older people just like chilling out.
Yeah.
They're slower songs. Not all of them are depressing by any means. Some of them, if you listen to, they're kind of a little
weird.
Yeah, funny, weird type deals. Because My Son John, which is on the album, and I want to say that's probably a traditional
one. Well, that's not funny.
And it's about, well, it's funny in the sense that they wrote a song about this. And it's basically a guy's son going off to war, and he gets his legs blown off by cannon fire.
You need he comes help. Back. What do
and
you hear?
The song is basically about, you know, his son without any legs. So it's like, well, that's kind of an odd lyric.
He told us.
Is this his actual son? Or was this just a story that somebody told him? He says, hey, I'll make a song about that.
I don't think he has this song.
I don't think so. I think this is just one
that he said in the interview that it's an old Irish song. Yeah, because people remember stuff like that sometimes.
And I think April, in her past reviews, I see her liking the more upbeat songs. And I do too, really.
Way to participate, Matt.
Yeah. Well, look at you on the movies. That's what you were doing over on the movies with your games.
I still participated.
Barely.
Whatever, yeah.
Should we go back and listen?
But there was several songs that I enjoyed, but at the same time, the first time I listened to it, I can see, yes, it was a little bit of an album where he was...
It's one that you have to drag your feet... Like, for me, I didn't actually even... Actually, this was one of my better ones because I started working on it before today. Because usually... Okay, you guys, I'm going to confess this. Usually, I'm writing it down during other reviews, like trying to get my info down. But this one, Dad actually told me, hey, you have to actually do stuff on this. I was like, crap. All of them,
hopefully.
You're lucky to have somebody to do that because I didn't have anybody to do it.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh.
But there's one song.
Go ahead, Matt.
I don't know if we want
to. No, participate, damn it.
Please talk.
I want to do a little clip of the. I want to throw in an extra little clip of the very beginning of Wild Mountain Time and see if Chris and Matt think the same thing I do, because to me, the intro reminded me of the Hobbit theme.
Matt, you have to listen to this.
Okay, guys listening?
I can hear just fine, thank you.
Well...
All the summer time has come.
So that was the intro to Wild Mountain Time.
I don't know. Don't look at me.
Is that what?
Yeah.
That Wild was, Mountain Time? Okay. And when we were doing the interview, I kind of said that that just reminded me of the Hobbit theme
Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings.
I don't know. Do you guys kind of agree with that?
Yeah, it's the I don't even know what you want to call it. It's the same type of music that they play, you know, in the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and all those.
I think that particular instrument can only play 8 notes, and there's only so many combinations you can do on it.
Was it a pan flute?
Eventually, that's what they're going to start sounding pretty close.
To me, it sounds like a pan flute.
No, a pan flute is how stereotypical is that the pan flute is the thing that goes across your mouth.
Yeah, I know.
And usually, that is a synonymous with pan. Native American music.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Huh.
Here.
Well, that's just what I
always think of Pan.
That's what I think of Pan, like the Roman or Greek, whatever, whichever one it is.
But I really thought, you know, if you had somebody that was kind of new to Celtic music but enjoyed Lord of the Rings,
I would say no.
You could probably show this to them and it would give them something that they're kind of familiar with, and then it goes into the song. But I really enjoyed it, and I liked the lyrics as well.
Here's the pan flute. Okay.
It can be...
I don't know. To me, like...
It could be anywhere, you know, it could be pitched anywhere like a piano.
It's like, yeah, like, you know? I just picture a pan flute, like, rocking out on it. Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of the things, it's either you like Celtic music or you don't.
Well, see, to me, I just... With a slow song, it has to be a really, really good slow song for me to like it. Otherwise, I'm going to sleep.
There is an actual instrument called the Celtic flute.
Is it the Irish flute? Is it wooden and longer?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's shorter.
Shorter.
But it's bigger in diameter.
Bigger in diameter.
Which gives it its deeper.
Turn your computer.
Hold on. I'm going to actually.
That is wrong. That is a monitor, not a computer.
Dude. It's...
Hold on. Be quiet.
Dude, what are you doing?
Oh, come on.
Richard was trying to hold that call forever.
That's a violin. Hold on.
Just let it out.
Well, I thought I was going to play something.
Yeah, he's trying to find.
Well, the title of this video is Beautiful Celtic Flute. There it is.
Now turn
it. Sounds
in.
About the same.
Yes.
Let me see.
I'm guessing that's where it came from, and that's
there's nothing to see.
Turn your
other than pretty
no.
waterfall.
Show me a freaking Celtic flute.
Look it up on your tablet.
Imagine a stick that's hollowed out, corked on one end, and it's got several holes down it.
Seriously, there is a reason I'm asking you about this butt munch.
And the reason would be...
Wow. God. This one's getting really bad, guys.
But
I just
back
got
to...
called butt munch. That's really bad.
Whoa.
I'm off track.
To get back, April said this album drug for her. To me,
it's not a recorder.
Over.
No. Although
I hate
be.
Recorders. I hate
can
them.
Can we get back to the podcast?
With
oh, it? Now you want to participate. Keep yes. us on track. You'll participate.
God, can we yes. just get on with this?
April said a drug for her, but for me, even coming over here, I made a comment to her that this album's flying by for me.
Oh, I own a Celtic flute. It's also called an Irish flute. That's why I didn't know which one, if it was the same thing or not. I own one.
There you go.
What
she
up
has
with
a
that, one-track
mind, don't she?
True. I looked it up on my phone.
She's going to prove she was
hey,
right.
Matt, I used Google.
But yep. this is one, if this is your first experience with Matt, kind of remember that this is not him all the time. This is a reaction
this
from...
Is- Matt Guernsey,
oh,
not Matt
I'm
in
sorry,
our podcast.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me repeat myself. Hey, G, I looked it up on Google.
But
thanks, April.
He, yeah. Like I said, like April mentioned, he went through a very rough year, so this album reflects yep. that. He did mention in the visit that he was going to come out with a couple other
two
albums
more?
This year.
He said he was working on two more.
When he comes out to visit, he does perform for libraries. So if you're interested in his music, his shows are lively. He gives descriptions of how the songs were created, if they're old traditional songs, and he has the instruments there that are
that
not original,
can,
but to the music style.
And he allows the kids to go up and like kind of mess with the instruments a little bit and see what they're all about.
Right. He jokes around with the crowd. So it's a good, entertaining evening. This one is just one, and this is one where you hear all the time artists and their albums, if they're writing the music, it's what they're feeling at that time. And if we really want to pick on somebody, one person really takes their experiences,
oh
TS,
my gosh.
And writes God. About them all the time.
God.
Oh, I got it.
T Swizzle.
Never mind. Got it.
That's my...
She takes it to an extreme where, you know, this is just his moment in time. His reflections back on what happened that year. Not all the songs are depressing. There are songs that are slow, but they're good songs. Wild Mountain Time is a slower song, but I love it. That's one of my favorite ones on the album as well.
My favorite one's Owner. I didn't like the album enough to have a favorite song.
Oh, man.
What age range are you thinking, maybe?
Well, since there are no lyrics in
like,
it.
Like, you know, them old people. Those old people are pretty cool.
There's no lyrics in it. Where are you
lyrics
in it? Oh, no, I was thinking of the Celtic flute that we were just going to listen to.
You're going to edit this, right? God, you got your work cut out for you, Ricky.
No, we are not editing this.
I'll pick and choose.
Wow.
But no, what range are you thinking for the album? And would you purchase for library? How do you want to
older
put that?
Older adults that have a family. Yeah.
I'm not going to ask why.
Because
Richard, what are you thinking?
What are you drinking?
Well, listen, I don't see teenagers aren't going to like this unless they're those.
Unless they're into fantasy.
Unless they are into that. College students ain't going to like it either because of that same reason. Because they're still partying and all that. You know, they're still young.
Listen
they
to
don't
it
care
in college.
About it.
Somebody's stereotyping.
It
and then.
Yes, yes.
Well, to be honest.
And then the people that have a family, like dad or mom or more open to it.
Well, to go back to the visit again, Matt actually stated himself that, you know, it's more of a select group that's going to listen to this. Because I asked him about if Lord of the Rings kind of helped the industry and popularity, and he said not really.
People that are in the death metal are a select group too.
Well,
true.
But
if you're into Celtic music, this is a definite buy. For a library, I would say this is a purchase because you're supporting an artist, a local artist. Well, not a smaller artist, because you want to try to support what you can. And if it's good, try to support. To me, this is a good album, so I would like to support it.
Most of the libraries in Kansas are going to want to support Kansas musicians.
Yeah.
So having saying to buy, I'm going to argue with you. Saying to buy from an individual who is
independent,
producing music, just to buy it because you want to support the musician.
Well, that's statist.
Isn't good enough for a library to buy it. It may be good enough for an individual to buy it.
But like I said,
not necessarily
to me,
a library.
It's a good enough album to support that individual.
I'd say it just depends on what
and
you have in your
this
community.
Is going to be one that, unless you're in the area, you're not going to really know about it. If you listen to the podcast, hopefully there's some people outside of the area, and he does travel around, but when he does his concerts again, he said he's just going to get primarily the people that are into the music.
Well, yeah, basically.
How many Celtic fans are in your town?
I honestly don't know of any.
I can tell you how many are in Dodge.
We have
maybe two.
Well, we have more than that. We have our family, one, two, I'd say probably four or five families.
But would they have listened to it without your influence?
I don't think so, because he's not. See, to me, when you guys said what age range would you recommend, and I said that older adult, you guys were like, what? Well, I don't think you can recommend it for an age, but for a type.
Somebody that's interested in the
genre.
Because
that I would, okay, that I agree with. Now, I want to
sort
of preface my argument with you, and that was, I think you're narrowing down who might like it. Because I think, for instance, if you brought him out and did like a, granted, we're only reviewing this album, okay? If you brought him out to do a program, you would have a lot more people come to that live event, and then therefore you would sell a lot more CDs or have a lot more people check out the CD for the library. And what my argument is exposure. If he got the exposure he needed, there would be a lot more people to say, hey, I kind of like that. I think I'll either check it out or buy it. Because he doesn't have the marketing people that people at Sony Records or any of those other big guys have. So
hence the podcast.
Exactly. Hence the podcast. Hence him going and doing his tours to, and if you look on his website, most of his tours are to public libraries.
To a degree, yep.
Yeah.
So if you don't think you'll be into it, I would say find it somewhere. You know, listen to the podcast, expose people to it, and let them decide if they like it or not. And I don't think age should be a restriction.
Do a beta test.
And I don't think so either. I've never said there was an age restriction. I just said people that like this music are going to be more apt to enjoy it. But there is, I think, because like we said, we asked him about it. He didn't think Lord of the Rings changed a whole lot. To me, I think it did. A little bit, but also there's a market right now if you go into your Target, especially, I don't know if Walmart's still doing it or not, but they have these little machines with basically New Age type music, but they have Celtic music, ocean sounds. People are getting exposed to Celtic music that don't normally get exposed to it just by that.
But they put it on bad songs.
Hold on. Ours is in the baby section.
But well, see, you're going to get a different select of people that will have a little bit of taste if they're just playing around with it.
Well, I don't think Lord of the Rings necessarily has brought around this fantasy sort of Celtic genre of music. I think it's PBS who actually has brought out Celtic Thunder,
Oh my God. I think Celtic Thunder.
Well, but would you have known about it if it wasn't on PBS?
Yes, because I don't watch PBS like a 5-year-old.
Exactly. A lot of people don't. But my point is exposure to this music is important for people to get it going, to draw the
If you're curious about whether or not you like this type of music, go to YouTube, because that's, instead of PBS finding out about Celtic Thunder, I was listening to all these different songs and on the sidebar, on the suggestions bar, I saw Celtic Thunder. I'm like, oh, what's that? And I clicked on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, this is cool.
That's dangerous. No. Could have been a virus.
And that's one of the things, to that degree, if the library can do this, and some libraries can't, if they could do themselves like a music store and take a selection of discs occasionally and let them play so people can hear them while they're just looking around.
Right.
That's the most
I really
opportune
think,
thing that a library can do instead of just leaving it on a shelf. If you just leave it on a shelf, unless you know somebody coming in that might enjoy it, you can recommend it. Or you see somebody reading a fantasy book, you could possibly recommend it, because that normally they would probably say, okay, we'll try it. Whether they like it or not, you never know. Because if just because they read fantasy doesn't mean they'll like the type of music.
You know what? March is coming up. There's a very popular drinking holiday in March.
Well,
St. Patty's Day.
March will be here.
This would be... Oh, okay.
This is March.
I forget.
All right.
Is it past St. Patty's Day?
We'll be at the end of St.
Patrick's
March
Day.
When this
oh,
is
really?
Out.
Oh, that's
see, that's bad. Funny because I don't know when
because
any
that,
of those
month
are.
Out, basically. Figure that out.
This would, March is the month to be pushing stuff like this.
True.
Because everyone's all on that green high and they're like, yeah.
True.
Yep.
That would work. But I recommend
look at this goofy
for,
grin on your face, Matt. What is it all about?
But I recommend just it for listening. Libraries. It's a good, he's a good singer. I would love to have him in more libraries, in more places where people can experience him and enjoy his music.
I say I really recommend a more fun, upbeat album next for his one coming up. So
and it might
that
be.
Doesn't drag. And like if you get, and like I kind of threw in like asked him about modernizing songs. I think he really needs to try to do that too.
They said one but, of them he tried that with.
But they're but I, like he said, he's targeting a niche.
He likes the older ones. He's
targeting a niche group.
Yeah.
So if he modernizes it, then he's targeting somebody else.
I don't like just pick songs that, because for me, after like the second song, basically, it all started to run together. And I was just like, is this, wait,
well,
have we changed songs yet? I'm still
if
not
you like
sure.
Bluegrass, almost anything
sounds
acoustical strings.
Well, to be honest, I can buy a greatest hits CD of, I can't remember who it was, but I listened to it, and after a while, I was like, these chords are sounding familiar, and it's over and over and
that's
over.
That's like in
country,
songs,
in
like, the country
wow.
genre, they just use a chord. And like
Duran Duran's almost like that with their songs. It's like
kind
of the same style, over and over, just different lyrics. So
Peter Cetera.
Does that too? I haven't listened to that, sorry.
Country music gets like that.
Boston.
Heard a few of their songs.
Who else?
But
Journey.
That's one thing that I've noticed with artists is they get into a comfortable space and sometimes they don't move away. And that's why a lot of times I like the albums that intermix songs for different artists. I still enjoy albums. And like I said, I did enjoy this one.
You know, I think the reason why bands tend to sing at a particular with a particular chord progression is because that's the vocal range of the singers.
Probably.
True.
That's a good point.
That is true.
Okay. Richard said bye. Chris says no.
That's wanting to go home.
April didn't like the album at all.
No,
I
think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I didn't want my criticism to sound negative because
I
actually like acoustic music rather in all forms.
Me too.
I appreciate all music in any form, but I particularly like acoustic music. So.
Well, see, with this one, I'm not saying I'm not a hater for Celtic music. Like, it's just this.
As long as it sounds like Celtic Thunder.
Yeah. I don't like Celtic women. I'm like, ner.
Edit.
But okay.
Oh, well.
I don't know. It's like, I just this one particular album of Celtic music that I wasn't too fond of.
That's legitimate.
That's the other thing.
Good, bad.
Your initial exposure to a new type of music
is very important.
Is yes
true
because it determines if you do or do not like it.
Actually, within the first 5 seconds of a song, you've decided already if you like it or not.
Because I was listening, I'm not a big screamo fan, but since I know you and the Matt like kind of like the screamo one, so I'm trying
and the Matt
and Chris, whatever your names are. Gosh, no, seriously,
I'm thinking,
whatever.
No,
listen.
I actually don't like that kind of music. Where do you get your
yes,
information?
Yes, you do. You told me.
She's calling it screamo, but I think she actually.
Metal?
Skrillex.
Heavy metal?
Not,
Skrillex,
no.
Rammstein.
Well,
the
no.
ones.
See, I don't
Drowning
really care
Pool.
For
Drowning Pool.
No.
Drowning Pool.
I don't like any of those.
Hoopastank.
Okay, Chris.
So you're giving me the wrong
stop
category.
Stop talking, Matt. Since you like screamo and metal and whatever the genre is called. I don't know. I don't listen to it a lot. I've been trying to get more into it so I can start reviewing more of them.
And you know what? It's not for everybody.
I know, because there's this one group that, like, they have this cool intro, and then they have, like, one little verse, and then they start screaming. Like, 2 seconds after they started screaming, okay. I clicked X. I was like,
I'm gonna date myself.
I was like, no.
The first time I heard any sort of techno or dubstep or anything like that,
I love
it. It was because it was in a car, and they had a huge sub in the back. Demonstrating the sound system. Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Wrong kind of thumping.
Wow. Just keep talking, Chris. Keep going. Keep going.
This is an explicit podcast.
You know what? You're doing good.
Of everybody that's in this room, you would think Matt would have the dirtiest mind, but it's not. It's Richard.
Yep.
Anyway,
I knew where he was going with that.
That's sad.
All right. Let's finish the story.
Anyway, it was because the first time I heard that type of music, I had, you know, it left an impression, you know. The first impression of it, you know, was like, you know, I like it.
Well, and then, see, I got into dubstep because I have a classmate that sits behind me with, like, beats and, like, turned up all the way. And he always plays dubstep. So I'm just walking down a hall and I'll just randomly be humming, like,
whatever you heard in class.
Doing some dubstep. I'm like, it's not me. Like, it's him. But, and like, with that screaming one I was talking about, whatever the genre is called, I call it screamo. I'm sorry. But if you initially don't like one, I encourage you to work up the courage to go back and try to get through the whole song with an open mind. Because what I did with that song, I went back to it. I turned it down really low so I didn't get scared again. And then I could gradually turn it up because I started getting used to it. And I started to like it more. So now I'm not the biggest fan, but I like that music now, kind of.
I don't condone drinking and going to parties, especially if you're under the age of 21. But that's probably
where you discovered
most of the music that I listen to today.
Well, I don't mind parties. It's just don't drink alcohol.
Wow, Richard. What are you teaching your daughter?
No, because there's nothing wrong with a party.
I haven't been to any parties per se.
Just don't drink alcohol at the party. And that's
if there's alcohol in the house, you can still get in trouble if you're under 21.
And that public service message is brought to you by Chris.
By Chris. Library cares.
You can email us at...
And we'll see how much of this is cut for time. Because we've got a time limit of roughly
right out
an hour.
Nice.
So
let's wrap her up.
That's about it, yeah.
I enjoyed it. Matt, semi enjoyed it, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not going to turn it down if someone's playing it.
I am.
It's not something.
Would you turn it up and drive by your house?
Probably not.
But see, no, I would turn it down. And I would change it.
But I'd say for Hard Times, mixed reviews. Some of us liked it. Some of us didn't. On the movie Hotel Transylvania,
is it yes?
I think we had a yes on that one,
except for Chris because he didn't watch it.
But listen to
him.
You
didn't read the War of the Worlds, so
no, I didn't.
But you can watch previews.
You read my review. I'll read your review.
Snap. All right, let's keep saying bye.
Same goes for you, music lady.
Music lady.
But there was
pick something I'll read. Oh, God. This is a dare. Pick good. Something I'll read.
Oh God, this one's in the toaster and burnt.
You know the Pop Tops commercial where
stop talking, Chris. Stop talking.
We need to really end this podcast.
Everybody out there, we're having fun. You guys have fun. We'll talk to you later on Comic Pop Library.
Bye.
Shady Grove, my little love. Shady Grove, my darling. Shady Grove, my little love. I'm going back to Harlem. Cheeks as red as a blooming rose and eyes are the prettiest brown. She's the darling of my heart, prettiest little girl in town. Shady Grove, my little love. Shady Grove, my darling. Shady Grove, my little love. I'm going back to Harlem. I wish I had a big fine horse and corn to feed him on, and Shady Grove to stay at home and feed him when I'm gone. Shady Grove, my little love. Shady Grove, my darling. Shady Grove, my little love. I'm going back to Harlem.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.